For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl. 2017 marks the 100th anniversary of American involvement in World War I. A new exhibition at the MSU Museum reveals how the government promoted the war. It's called War and Speech: Propaganda and Patriotism in the Great War. You can see artifacts from the First World War, many of them with Michigan or East Lansing connections, through November 11th of next year. Among those artifacts are numerous examples from the museum's collection of almost 500 posters from the era. I took a tour with history curator Shirley Vida, beginning with the first posters on display at the entry to the exhibit. Along with posters issued by the government, they include works by private citizens.
Patriotism was shown during World War I by a lot of different voluntary activities beyond the government propaganda of the Division for Pictorial Publicity, which was the artist that George Creel recruited to make posters like the Uncle Sam I Want You poster. We also have in this exhibit posters that were made as part of contests for communities by high school students or by different philanthropic organizations. So, for example, we have a poster entitled What is Your Alibi, which was done by, so far, an anonymous person. We only have his or her initials, M-A-S, requiring more research. Research never ends. And this was done in Three Oaks, Marion County, Michigan. It's wonderful to have such an artifact. They're pretty rare.
So the government actively tried to squash dissent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you read newspapers of the time, too, George Creel and his newspaper men on the Committee on Public Information insert in newspapers basic, copy, to keep the government looking really, really wonderful. Censorship was voluntary. Newspaper editors tended to fall into accord with that. But censorship overseas was something different. If you were an American doughboy, an American soldier in the trenches, your letter would have to go through three censors in order to get back home.
We have moved into an area of the exhibit that has to do with race and with immigration as it relates to American involvement in the war. Tell me about that.
Well, we were fascinated when we looked at all the posters in our collection that rarely were African Americans depicted. In further study, I found that African Americans did appear on one or two government-produced posters, but for the most part, African Americans really appear on commercially produced lithographs promoting the war effort, and more importantly, promoting African Americans' patriotism and civic duty in the war. Many African Americans believed that fighting the war would help decrease discrimination, increase civic engagement, civic duty, and change the racism, change majority culture's racist views of African Americans. What we also have here, though, is the everyday racism that African American men saw when they actually registered for the draft. What we have in the exhibit is a facsimile military registration card for the great Detroit Tiger player, Ty Cobb. And in the corner, we could see what was everyday racism. It's a small triangle that had to be torn off if you were registering for the military draft and you were African American.
I assume that would simplify the sorting process to keep separate the registrations of whites from those of African Americans.
Definitely so.
Tell me about this uniform jacket that we are standing in front of.
The uniform jacket that we have is from the 2nd Division of the United States Army, the American Expeditionary Forces. And the 2nd Division is a unique division. It contained both Marines and Army personnel. But we were fascinated by the jacket for two reasons. First of all, the Sedition Act said you couldn't criticize military uniforms. Yet what we see on the patch designating the 2nd Division is an Indian head. Secondly, we were fascinated by Native Americans' participation in the military, in the war at this time. and how they were displayed and written about in newspapers. So we use the example of Sergeant Lee Shannonquet from Michigan, who was wounded severely. It took him 2 years to recover from his wounds. And he'd go back and fight again. But when a Detroit newspaper depicted him, they depicted him as an Indian brave, and they used the term boy instead of man. So we were fascinated by the use of that stereotype of Native Americans. Some Native Americans actually were citizens, some weren't. And in 1919, those who fought could apply for United States citizenship.
We're talking about an exhibition at the MSU Museum that's here through most of 2018, highlighting World War I and American propaganda, American posters, American government efforts to promote involvement in the First War. There's also a cape here that I assume was worn by a woman in some form of serving their country during World War I.
Absolutely. Many women served. Many people think that women in the armed forces is a more recent phenomenon, but basically the Navy, United States Navy, did take in women. And the United States Army created a women's army corps, an army nursing corps of women, training them. And they are sent over to Europe working in base hospitals through 1919, even after the war. What we have here is a wonderful, really heavy wool cape, dark blue, a red interior that's also wool. These things were very, very heavy, of an army nurse named Margaret Carl. And behind it, we have a blown-up image of Margaret Carl's graduating class of nurses in New York City, ready to go overseas.
Frequent visitors to the museum often come here to see the quilts that the MSU Museum is known for. You have a World War I-related quilt on display here.
Yes, indeed. This is a quilt that was created for the Red Cross, to raise money for the Red Cross, actually. A lot of Americans wanted to do their bit. We did not have in the United States mandatory rationing, but people wanted to do their work. And so we have this beautiful quilt. People carried around Red Cross knitting, they rolled bandages, but they also created these quilts to auction off, to raffle off, so that they could raise money to buy yarn, buy bandages, and keep producing for the war effort. And this wonderful example was made by women in Ionia, Michigan.
We're standing in front of a doughboy helmet that has MAC painted on it. That has to stand for Michigan Agricultural College, right?
What else could it stand for? This helmet, and we don't know when the MAC was put on it, but it belonged to Captain William McDonald, who graduated MAC in 1913, and then later donated many of his World War I militaria to the museum.
There's also a video playing here. Tell me about this video.
This is an amazing video from the National Archives. It is part of a longer video, documentary about the first unknown soldier coming back to the United States in 1921.
One final thing to talk about here is how the exhibition is brought to its conclusion and brought to modern day life.
Mm-hmm. Looking at all these World War I posters and thinking about the role of propaganda and free speech and dissent and the role of government and citizens in a democracy, we wanted to ask visitors what they thought about free speech today. Where is the line between government control and even the control of the marketplace for ideas, for being able to speak, for being able to write? And so we've asked a question 100 years after the Sedition Act, where is free speech today?
So it's just a few images depicting what's happening today. We have images of neo-Nazis, the Black Lives Matter movement, kneeling football players. It sort of brings thinking about 100 years ago today up to speed for a modern audience.
I hope so. These issues are really current. They're not only historic, and they are ever-changing. And we hope that people really do think about these as they read their newspapers, watch their television, look at media generally.
This thought-provoking exhibition is called War and Speech, Propaganda and Patriotism in the Great War. You can see it at the MSU Museum through November 11th of 2018. Shirley Vida is curator of history here at the MSU Museum. Thank you.
Thank you. This was fun.
For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl.